So do all of you have one of those? Oh, okay. So John, can you help pass those out? I know you've been working really hard up there beating on the drums. Can someone help him just so we can do it quickly and just make sure everybody has one? I think we'll have enough for everybody. It's a place for you to fill in some blanks, and to me, it's the kind of blanks that you need to keep nearby and look to quite often, because it has to do with praying and prayer and that kind of thing. So, are you? Good. All right. So I wonder, sometimes we ask the question, I don't know what to pray for people. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to even begin. And that's okay. So I have kind of two categories today that I want to share with you. One is how to pray for your believers, fellow believers. There's a whole bunch of, and we would know a lot of fellow believers that we could focus on and pray for. And then there is also praying for unbelievers, for people who don't know Christ, and or that we don't, at least we think that they don't know Christ. God is the one who knows all about us. But you know, the trick is to know what to pray. We have to know people. That sounds pretty profound, but unless we have conversations with people, unless we engage people, unless we get to know what's going on in their life, where they stand with Christ, we need to have those conversations with people so that we know how we can pray. And I just want to tell you that, and so don't take this wrong, but the church that I'm familiar with down in Oregon, they don't put it on the billboard and parade it all over in pride. But I know that in the last couple months, they had a special prayer event. And they're a big church. They're a big church in a very small community. But they counted how many hours their church family, when they gathered together to pray, how many hours they prayed. And the reason they did that is because if it matters, then you count it. Right? If money matters, you probably count your money. Right? I know that Pastor D talked about driving down to California with his 8 kids, and they stopped at a rest area, and they were all running around, going to the restroom and all that kind of stuff, and then they jumped in the van and kept going, and then one of the kids yelled out and said, "Susanna's not here," and so they had to drive about another 5 miles to the next exit, go across, come back, and then go back, and it was probably a half an hour since they left her there. And there she was, sitting there crying because she, you know, because they left her behind and she didn't know what was going to happen. And so Pastor Deja says from then on, whenever they went anywhere, what would they do? They would count heads, and they go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, let's go. So, you know, their church counts the amount of hours that people spend praying and how many attend their prayer meetings and that kind of thing. Why? Because that's really important. And they don't, you know, they're not bragging, but they, this last time that they had a 5 days of prayer, they totaled up about 2,500 combined hours of prayer. And at the end of that week, they took a special offering for missions, and they collected like $220,000 for missions at the end of that time. So that's a pretty high bar, let me tell you. That's a very high bar, but I would like us to go a little higher. So I'm going to find out. I'm going to keep track of who comes to our prayer event this week, and it's just for me and how much time we spend praying and watch what God does. That's all. So the first part that I want to go to, though, is the praying for people that don't know the Lord, praying for unbelievers. And these are actually listed on your cards, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I've talked about this before. There are verses on there that we could dig into and go deeper with, and we should pray. I think the Bible encourages us to pray for people who don't know Christ. So do you have any of those in your world? How many of you know someone who is not a believer? Yeah. How many of you know someone who's walked away from the faith? Yeah. There's a lot of that going on right now, you guys. I don't know if you know that. One of the workshops that Mike and I went to down at Seaside was just a guy from Western Seminary, one of the professors that talked about the deconstructing that is going on and the younger and younger ages in which our young people are being misled and confused, and there's really, in my opinion, there's blasphemy that goes on against the atonement of Christ himself, and there is a huge making fun of the scriptures and some of the hard passages of scripture. And I went out of there thinking, man, unless God's people pray and we enter into the spiritual warfare that really exists in our culture today, we will lose. And when I say pray, it's not praying to get brownie points with God. It's praying because we have an enemy who is very, very fiercely engaged in doing what he can in our culture. And he's being successful with younger and younger ages, people, kids who have access to their phones. And anyway, enough said. So praying for people who don't know the Lord, and you can just fill these in if you'd like to. First one is to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict your friends of sin. Pray that the Holy Spirit, only God can do that. Did you know that? Only God can bring someone to faith in Christ. Only God can bring the conviction of sin. Only God can do a lot of things. And we need to understand as we glorify him that we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will convict our friends and our family members of sin. Okay? The second thing is pray that God will produce in your friends a growing fear of death. That sounds morbid, but that's real. Okay? A fear of death, a fear of God. I've been reading through the book of Proverbs this week, and I've been just highlighting and underlining every time it talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is knowing that he sees what I do, he hears what I say, and he knows what I think, and that he will reward those who act righteously and punish those who disobey him. So a fear of God is really important, and a fear of judgment. Whether people want to believe it or not, the Bible clearly and Jesus taught over and over again that judgment day is coming. There will be a day of giving an account before God at the great white throne judgment. So pray that God, that's what prayer is, praying that God would do something that only God can do, that he will produce in your friends, in your family, a growing fear of death, fear of God, and a fear of judgment that's going to come, and a realization that life is short, and we all know that, right? Pray for a growing hunger for joy and a realization that heaven is real. Pray for a growing hunger for joy. One of the things that I don't know if we realize, at least I feel like this week I've had a chance to think about that, is that when things are right between you and God, we get to experience something that maybe we take for granted, but it's called peace with God. We don't get up in the morning wondering where we stand with him. We don't wonder if he's mad at us or whether he's going to send us to hell. Because there is the byproduct of our relationship with him, which is peace with God. So pray for a growing hunger for joy and for a realization that heaven is real. Pray that God will deepen their desire for a close, personal relationship with himself. That's what our faith is. It's a relationship. And I think that if there's not much of a relationship that a believer has, that's a shame. I just feel like in my life that there's a growing sense of delight in being with the Lord every day, being in his word every day. I can't not be in his word. I love it. So pray that God would deepen their desire for a close personal relationship with him. Pray that God will open the eyes of their hearts to understand the truth of the gospel. Do you know why we have to pray that? Because Satan does the opposite. Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the glory of Christ. And so we need to be in prayer that God will open the eyes of their hearts to understand the truth of the gospel. So if we know someone who's unsaved, this would be a great prayer to pray. God, just open their eyes. You don't have to try and open them for them. We need to trust God to do what only God can do. Amen? Okay, I heard two amens out there. And then this is part where it becomes very practical. But if you're concerned about your neighbor and you see something that they have a need where you can serve them, that would be a good thing. I know that I have one story where right across from a church, there was a farm with cows and stuff, and there was a fence post that fell over, and so the fence was broken down. And it was right where people were coming and going from church all the time. But someone just decided, without making a big fanfare about it, that they would fix the fence. So they went and got their tractor, and they got a fence post, and they did the barbed wire stretching and everything, got it back, and didn't say anything, just went on about life. And that person eventually ended up coming to church with a very simple act of service. So pray for an opportunity. It's a dangerous prayer, but pray for an opportunity to serve your friends and to genuinely love them by meeting needs. So that's going to be a little bit of a prod to action there, okay? And then pray for the opportunity to share what Jesus means to you, okay? And I hope he means a lot to you. But pray for an opportunity. Paul said, pray for me that God would open a door for the word of God, that he would open an opportunity for me to speak about Christ. And that's really important. Okay? Are we with me? Are you with me? Okay. So you can hang on to those things. I have one more. And this would be, if you invite someone to church, if you invite someone to Sunday school, if you invite someone to Awana, to the Grand Prix, if you invite them to the men's group, if you invite someone, guess who is standing against that? Guess who is opposing that? Guess who doesn't want people to grow in their faith or come to faith in Christ? We have an enemy who's very real. And so we can pray that your friends would say yes when you invite them to church or other opportunities to learn about Jesus. I haven't spent a lot of time preaching about Satan and demons and the opposition that exists to the church, but it is so real today in our culture. Satan is so active. And he is so involved in blinding the minds of the unbelievers, blinding the minds of children, confusing them about their gender, confusing them about what's right and wrong and sexual behavior and politics, just a lot of things. Satan is very involved in that. So pray that people will say yes when you invite them to church. Okay? All right, now let's see but I want to say that we should, and this is really important. You want to know how to pray. You could spend hours praying if you really think about each one of these. How to pray for fellow believers. What are the important things that we ought to be praying? What should you pray for me? What should I pray for you? How should we pray for one another? Here's some thoughts, okay? Praying for fellow believers. All right, number one. Pray for spiritual growth and mature Christ-like character in them. You know, we need to be asking God. We need to ask God that he would do that in the lives of the children at Awana. We need to ask them that God would do it for the youth group, that God would, for spiritual growth and maturity and Christ-like character. And what an important thing to be praying for our believing friends and family members. Oh, here's a Epaphras. This is from the book of Colossians, but it says, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. And here's what Epaphras did. I love this. It says, always laboring earnestly for you. Epaphras was always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers that you may stand perfect, not perfect like flawless, but mature in character, fully assured in all of the will of God. There's a scripture right there if you need one to back up what we're saying. Epaphras prayed for maturity in the believers at Colossae. All right? The word mature or perfect is the word teleos. It means this: mature, perfect, complete, expert, full-grown, adult, fully developed. That's what it means to be mature. That's what teleos means. That's the end. That's the goal. And so our prayers need to be that God's people will grow in that way. So here's some questions for you. What do you want? What do you want God to do for other believers? It's a great question. What do you want God to do for them? For what changes in them does your heart ache? Or does your heart ache? That's a great question. For what fruit in their lives, in the lives of others, do you have passion? Those are really profound, important questions. What do you want God to do in the lives of other believers? That would give us plenty of things to pray for. You could just go up and down the rows of the church. I go up and down the rows every week. And I've spent a wonderful time this week praying for all of you, almost all of you. But that's the kind of prayers. Praying for maturity, praying for growth, praying for spiritual growth, praying for progress in your faith. Okay? And then 2 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we rejoice when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we also pray for, that you may be made complete." There it is again. That you may be made mature. So if you're a dad, man, that ought to be enough for you to pray for, right there. Pray for every one of my kids, that that would be true in their lives, that they would be strong, that they would be mature, that they would grow spiritually. That's a great prayer request, okay? And then 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's praying for the day when Christ returns, praying that there would be completion, there would be maturity, Christ-like character, okay? Pray that they would overcome sin. Pray that they, that you're praying for other believers, would overcome sin. That they would not be subject to sin. They would not be ruined by sin, or not ruined, but, you know, sidetracked by sin. That implies that sin is real, that sin is something we have to deal with. I think it's Romans 8. In him, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. So we want to pray that our fellow believers would overwhelmingly conquer sin in their life, anger in their life, moral struggles in their life, and so on. Now we pray to God that you do no wrong. We pray to God that you do no wrong. That sounds like what I just said, right? There would be an overcoming of sin. That's a great way to pray for your friends, your neighbors, your family, that you would do no wrong. Not that we ourselves may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, even though we should appear unapproved. So we pray that you would do no wrong. That's something. It wasn't just, "I sure hope that happens." It's, we pray that. We pray to God. God, help whoever it is to overcome sin in their life. It's a great prayer. And, oh, I love this one. Anybody say this verse? Can any of you say this one by memory? Any of you guys? I'm thinking of Shane or Mark or one of you guys. Can you do it? "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." Right? We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The weapons that the church has are not carnal, fleshly, human weapons. It is the weapon of faith and prayer in God. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That's our warfare. That's who we are as a church. That's how we win battles. That's how we engage in the spiritual struggle of our culture, is through believing prayer. And then, of course, no temptation has taken you, overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also provide a way for you to escape so that you may be able to endure it. So God is the one who gives us a way out in the midst of temptation. Pray that they would know the will of God in their lives. Man, what a great prayer for your kids, for your grandkids. Pray that they would know the will of God in their lives. Not what the will of the culture is, not what the will of peers is, not even the will of other churches, but what is the will of God in their lives. John MacArthur once said that 90 or 95% of all the will of God is found where? Right here. This is where the will of God is discovered and found and put into practice. So we need to pray that our kids would know the will of God for their lives. And not just our kids. This, according to Joshua 1:8, I know some of you know this one, right? But this was like, how do you define success for Joshua? When he was about to replace Moses and go into the promised land and defeat and conquer the enemies in the land, and there was this sense of, I'm not sure whether we're going to win this battle or not. I'm not sure whether we can win it. Here's what the instruction was. This book of the law, Joshua, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. Success in God's sight, having a prosperous in God's sight life, begins with meditating on the Word of God day and night and day and night, every day, every day. That's success. It's not having a lot of money. It's not going to a nice college. It's not getting a good scholarship. It's not driving a nice car, having a fancy house. It's none of those things. But success in God's sight comes from meditating on the Word of God day and night so that we would be careful to obey it and to put it in practice in our lives. For this reason, Paul wrote to the Colossians, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. We haven't stopped praying for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of what? His will. Paul prayed that the believers in Colossae would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That was really important. Why? In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk, so that you may live in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Paul would say, we haven't stopped praying for you. Pray for protection from the devil. Man, I tell you, if Satan is real, demons are real. We are in a spiritual contest. We are in a spiritual struggle. There is a spiritual struggle going on in this country, in this community. I mean, it's right here. He is real. Satan is real. And we need to be asking for God's protection from a real enemy, the devil. Peter wrote, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, your enemy, the one who wants to destroy you, your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." We are in a spiritual contest, and we need to pray for God's protection. And, I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer that, but to keep them from the evil one. That was Jesus. That would be red letter in my Bible if you want to make a distinction. I don't. But I don't ask thee to take them out of the world, but I pray for you to keep them from the evil one, to protect them. Okay, pray for deliverance from the world's temptations that they might not fall away from God. Do people fall away from God in our culture? Absolutely. People are falling away every day. I think they're looking at their phones. They're reading some of the garbage that's put on there. They don't have answers, and they don't know how to ask the questions that they want to ask. And that's the biggest danger. It isn't that they have questions. It's that they don't ask them. They don't know if they can ask them. And, but they do fall away if they don't get answers from us. And they need to know that there are answers. We were at the conference this week, and there was a pastor there who had pastored, I believe, for 18 years in Austin, Texas. And by his own words, he said, that's kind of like the Portland of Texas. I don't know what else to say about that. But, in pastoring the church, he found over time, especially through COVID and all the stuff that went on, that there were people that were there and then poof, they were gone for different reasons. And so his part of his talk was about dealing with when poof, they're gone, that kind of thing. But this is what Paul had to deal with. He was in prison in Rome for his faith, and he was sharing the burden of his heartache with young Timothy. And so he was saying, this is what I've been going through. This is what I've gone through. He said, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. That's a pretty big deal. He was dealing with the pain of rejection, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And then there was Demas, who abandoned him. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. So he was dealing with rejection, he was dealing with abandonment, and then he was dealing with pain or hurt. And in the same letter, he shares this with Timothy. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. So he was dealing with some pretty heavy things. And so pray for deliverance from the world's temptations that they might not fall away from God. It does happen. And we need to be praying wherever we are communicating the truth of the Word of God in this church, in this ministry. We had 98 homeschool kids here on Friday. Doesn't look like it, But they came in on Friday and they had chapel. Mike preached at chapel on Friday, and Alan is going to be doing that more often on Fridays here. But, you know, we have opportunities to influence families in our community with the gospel, which is cool. And then we have Sunday school class, Rusty's class on Sundays. We have council times on Thursdays for Awana. We have discipleship going on. We have Sunday night theology study. We have preaching. We have opportunities. So we need to make sure that we are communicating the word of God to people. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus said, I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them. Jesus prayed that for his followers, for his disciples. He said, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one. He was praying. They are in the world. Pray for believers who live in the world. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them. Jesus guarded them, that not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And then, of course, this is the disciples' prayer. And do not lead them into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was Jesus' teaching about prayer, praying for deliverance from evil. And then, remember Simon, Peter? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. What did Jesus respond? But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. What a great passage. Jesus prayed for Simon that his faith would not fail. Pray that they would be bold, effective witnesses for Jesus. Pray that they would be bold, effective witnesses for Jesus. And I mentioned this earlier, but in the early church, when the church was being persecuted pretty much for the first time, and it was becoming obvious that there was opposition, they were being intimidated, they were being threatened, they were being threatened to be quiet, they were being threatened to just be good and quiet and mind your own stuff. And when they gathered together to pray, then we read in Acts 4:31, and when they corporately had prayed, when they gathered together in prayer, when they reached out together in prayer, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled, controlled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What was the evidence of the filling, the control of the Holy Spirit in their lives? What was it? And began to speak the word of God with what? Boldness. But that came out of a corporate prayer meeting in the face of persecution, and the result was boldness for Christ in the face of it all. So we need to be praying. Pray that they would be bold, effective witnesses for Jesus. Not an easy thing. If kids go to the public schools today, man, to pray that way, it's like asking for getting beat up emotionally, spiritually for our kids. I mean, man, if there's a young person who goes into the public school system and who is a bold witness for Christ, man, I am so proud of them. I really am. And we need to be praying for our young people. Our church needs to be praying. Now, please don't take this wrong. We need to be praying for a replacement for me, because I'm getting old and I don't have plans to get out of here, but we need to be praying for the future of this church, for where the church is going when I'm not here anymore. And I'm not that great. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying the church, we need to be praying for the future ministry of this church. We need to be praying for young people. We need to be discipling them and giving them opportunities to speak and teach and become leaders here. And I don't have a tight grip on that. You can't see that, but that's not me. This is me. I want God to be able to take this church where he wants it to go in 5 or 10 or 20 years from now. Okay? I wasn't going to say that, but there it is. I don't have any problem saying that I'm old, because I know I am. Ephesians 6:19, and pray, Paul said, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me from God. That utterance, that speaking, that proclamation, that witnessing may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We need to be praying for that kind of boldness for ourselves and for those in our church family. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. That's it. So, do you have any food for prayer or any things you could be praying for? You could take that list and you say, okay, I'm going to spend a few minutes praying for Rusty. You know? I know he is, but you know, or you could pick someone else and you could just say, man, I'm going to pray these things, that there would be an overcoming of sin, that there would be a protection from the evil one. That there would be deliverance from the world's temptation, that there would be an effective, bold witness for Christ. I mean, you go through that and pray, and you look down at your watch and say, man, where did that hour go? And I'm just convinced, okay, and I'm going to say this as we, and I think I learned this at the conference we were at this week in a new way, and that is, there is everything in the Christian life that only God can do. We just have to realize God is the only one that can open the eyes of someone who doesn't know him or doesn't care about him. Only God can do what we dream about, that we want. So we need to be those who draw near to God and pray and ask him about those things and pray for one another. And we have to know each other, and we have to know a lot of things, but anyway, I really want to close this time, but I want to encourage you to find a time this week. If you're intimidated by coming into a prayer meeting because it's, you know, too holy, or all these people are just too spiritual and I don't feel like I'm very good at that, man, I would love to see that room up there filled this week a lot. I would love that you would take the time to come and say, I'm going to come on that day and I'm going to, there will be plenty of these cards. You won't have to think about what to pray. There's going to be lots of ammunition, I guess you could say. So, all right, let's stand up together, and we're going to sing a different song today. You know, I sometimes wonder, can't we be a little bit more creative and do something different? So we're going to stand up and let's sing a different one. This one's called Christ, the Sure and Steady Anchor. You can turn that up a little bit now if it gets a little loud.